The Gospel Plan of Salvation by T.W. Brenz. Chapter 8. The New Birth. We have said that persons enter the Church of God in one way and in one way only. In this we are sustained by the positive statement of Jesus himself. In a conversation with Nicodemus on this subject, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3 and verse 3. And in the fifth verse he said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." By the phrase "kingdom of God" here, he meant the Church of God, or system of government established by God's authority on earth. To this we suppose all agree. When we speak of entering the kingdom of God, then, we do not mean heaven, the holiest of all into which Jesus, our adorable high priest, hath entered for us, but the kingdom established on the earth on the day of Pentecost. Into this kingdom or church he that is not born again can not enter. This kingdom is a system of government, and those who enter it must be subjects of government, capable of understanding and obeying its laws. Infants, insane persons, and unresponsible persons are not such. It was not, therefore, established for them, and their salvation is not suspended upon an entrance into it. Jesus says, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven," that is, of such as they are now, without being born again. Having seen that a man must be born again in order to enter the kingdom, and that it is the office of the new birth to introduce the party born into the kingdom, it follows that a more important subject never engaged the attention of man. We will therefore examine it carefully and somewhat in detail, in the hope that the class of persons for whose benefit we write may ponder well what may be said, and that some good may be done in the name of Jesus. The first thing necessary to a birth is parentage. There must be a father and a mother, or there can be nothing born. Who, then, can be our spiritual parents? Paul salutes the brethren, to whom he wrote thus, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 1 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, and Philemon verse 3. In all these places, Paul, in the same words, recognizes God as our Father, and Jesus taught his disciples to address God in prayer as "our Father who art in heaven," Matthew 6 and verse 9. John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And again, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Other scripture might be quoted, but these are sufficient to identify our Father with great clearness. Paul, in his allegory with reference to the two covenants, told us that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Galatians 4 and verse 26. This heavenly Jerusalem, answering in the allegory to the free woman, is our spiritual mother. Hence, in the 31st verse he says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but children of the free." But before there can be a spiritual birth, the subject must have been begotten. Man is begotten of the Father and born of his mother, both physically and spiritually. He is not born of his father at all, either at the same time when born of the mother or at any other time. The father may have been in his grave long ere the child is born, and how he is born of his father when born of his mother is not very clear to us. John says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Also in verse 18 it is said, "We know that whosoever is begotten of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself." In keeping with the Bible, Union, and Anderson's translation, we have exchanged the word "born" for "begotten" in each of the verses quoted, and we venture to state further that there is not a place in the New Testament where the words "born of God" occurs, that a faithful translation would not render "begotten of God." In no place will the Spirit's teaching, faithfully translated, represent us as born of God, born of our Father. Such a thought is absurd in the very nature of things, and no one who understands the new birth or the natural birth from which the figure was drawn will entertain such a thought or use such language. But to proceed. Peter speaks of his brethren as being born, begotten, again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Here we learn that the Word of God is the spiritual seed with which persons are spiritually begotten. And in order that we may be begotten of this incorruptible seed, our Father has ordained that human agents shall preach it to the world. Hence, in this sense, Paul calls Timothy and Titus his sons in the common faith. And also to the Corinthians he says, "In Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Then, when Paul preached the word of God, gospel, or incorruptible seed, to the Corinthians, and they believed and received it, they were begotten of God. And Paul speaks of them as having been begotten of him through the gospel, because he was the person through whom God made known the gospel to them. Hence, says James, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." James 1 and verse 18. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation only to those who believe it. But how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter 10, verse 14. So then, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Then, when a man believes the gospel, is he not born again? Devils believe and tremble, James 2 and verse 19. They also acknowledge Jesus the Son of God, Mark 3 verse 11. Were they born again? Among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, John 12 verses 42 and 43. There are now many such as these chief rulers were then. Are they born again? If a man be born again when he first believes the gospel, when is he begotten, and where are the elements of birth, water, and spirit, of which Jesus said he should be born? John says Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verses 11 and 12. Jesus came to his own prepared people, and many of them did not receive him or believe on him. But to as many of them as did receive him by believing on his name, he gave the power or privilege of becoming sons of God. Believing on his name, then, did not make them sons, but prepared them to become sons. When a man believes the gospel, and with meekness receives it into a good and honest heart, he is then begotten of God, and is prepared to be born. The vital principle is then implanted in the heart, but he is no more born again at that time than he was physically born the moment he was conceived. As it is not the office of a birth to give life, but to bring the subject to the enjoyment of life previously possessed in a different state, so without being begotten by the Father through the gospel, and thus having the principle of life implanted in the heart, the subject born would be dead when born, if it were possible for him to be born at all. When he is spiritually begotten, he may avail himself of the means of God's appointment for a birth and be born into the kingdom, or he may refuse them, as he may elect. In this particular, there is no analogy between a physical and a spiritual birth. In the former, we have no agency in being begotten or born, nor is either in the least under our control. In the latter, both are to a considerable extent under the control of the subject. He may, as many do, refuse to hear the gospel at all, and he may refuse to believe it after he has heard it. If he believes not, his doom was pronounced by Jesus when he said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." He may also refuse to obey it after he has believed it. If so, he believes in vain, and his faith is dead, not having been made perfect by obedience. Faith causes us to love and fear God and desire to do his will. It also causes us to hate sin because it is contrary to his will. Hence, Peter, in speaking of the conversion of the Gentiles, said that God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 15 and verse 9. This, the effect of faith, is what is called a change of heart, and must precede the new birth. But a change of heart is one thing, the new birth a different thing. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus will make apparent the truth of this position. While he was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Acts 9, verses 1 through 5. It will be seen that Saul set out on his journey with his heart filled with bitterness against the disciples, and thought he was doing right to persecute and punish them. Jesus convinced him by a miracle that he was what he professed to be. Saul's faith was changed from believing that Jesus was an impostor to the belief of the truth that he was the Son of God. This change in his faith produced a corresponding change in his heart, and he abandoned his errand of persecution and was willing to become a disciple himself. He was then begotten of God, but was he born again? If this was birth, where and when were the elements of birth with which he then came in contact? 3 days hence he was born of water and of the Spirit in obedience to a divine command given him by Ananias. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. His heart was changed by the way, but he was born again 3 days afterward.